Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hit Chat Chit Chat. We got your host right here. You got myself, and then we also have the man, the myth, the legend, JP Fashone. JP, how you doing, sir?
Good, good. Glad to be back.
Dude, beautiful. Yeah, took a little time. We kind of went back. I will say I went back on the weekly one. A lot of transitioning has been happening in the last 3 weeks. So if you're watching the video, you'll notice I have a different background behind me. Stay tuned. I'm going to be releasing a whole video on it. If you're on the mailing list of clients I've seen in the last 3 months, you've been notified of what's going on. And yeah, we're at a new home. We are at Fast Performance over here in Denver, Colorado. And so moving forward, going to be the lead hitting guy over here. So really excited about that. And just going to be diving into all the player development, all the data, all the numbers, and I'm super excited for that. But outside of that, where have you been, JP?
Been busy. Went to a tournament, a youth baseball tournament out in Arizona, the Baseball for All women's team. So it was a lot of fun. It was hot, very hot. But it's good. The girls had a lot of fun. It was crazy to see how many girls play baseball. At the younger level, we probably had 6 to 8 teams at every level from 10U to 16U. So
that's really
a lot of teams, which was fun. A lot of really good baseball too. Not necessarily from our team, but the girls had fun. And that's what mattered. Nobody got heat stroke. The girls had fun. But other than that, we've just been wrapping up the summer here and sending boys back off to school.
Beauty. What would you say is the main demographic of those teams? Because I'll be honest, like in the Colorado area, like I've seen a couple girls that play like guys like men's baseball or like, I don't know, high school baseball. You can't call it men's baseball. But like they're playing on like, you know, their middle school team and stuff like that. They kind of filter out. So like where were most of these teams coming in out of?
Like San Francisco, Arizona, Texas, like your typical baseball heavy states. It's kind of the demographic, Florida, that kind of thing. Like one East Coast team, but pretty just baseball heavy states where everybody just plays baseball. So
shocker. You know,
yeah. Yeah. Weird. Girls are like, yeah, play baseball. So, yeah. Shocker there.
Well, hell yeah, man. Anything else? Any other changes going on over at the gym and anything like that?
A lot of things in the works. I'll say that. A lot of some big things in the works. I'm not sure how close we are to getting public with all of it, but there's a lot of big things in the works. But for us, the one thing I can tell you, Smash Balls are back. They're back in stock. We have them all. Have you gotten to try them? Have they gotten there?
I still haven't shipped yet.
Ah, that's it. Okay, well, they're in. They landed in our shipping warehouse today, so they should be out in the next week or so.
Were you guys – can you hear that?
A little bit. The beeping?
Yeah. Oh, it's a damn alarm or timer freaking from the move, man. Everything's off. Out of here. Scram, skedaddle. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Vinatieri.
The goat.
There we go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
They landed in the warehouse today, so they should be out for delivery.
When,
in a week or so.
When did you guys run out? Because I've, like, low-key, I thought I purchased mine when, like, right when y'all's announced, I thought. You were out?
Yeah, we ran out really quickly.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
We ran out extremely quickly. Yeah, faster than anybody thought.
Okay. That's so awesome. Yeah.
Good things, but also you had to wait for your Smash Balls.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been we have not swung one of those Berg demo bats off of, like, anything beyond front toss yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm terrified.
Yeah. Yeah, I would bet.
Like alone on the mental side of somebody holding a wood bat that they are not allowed to break against a like baseball moving. No.
Yeah, I've been. No. Don't trust your basketball skills enough.
No. But speaking on the mental side of things, is there what's the topic of conversation today?
I mean, conversation is the mental game, the elusive mental game, often talked about but never really discussed mental game. I kind of started thinking about this earlier today. Chad Longworth tweeted this. I love Longworth, great dude. Hilarious tweets, but I always like to kind of play the devil's advocate in everything. And so he tweeted something like trying to hit a ground ball to second base is like a bad approach, right? Which ground balls to second base are outs. Like, yep, don't do that. But it got me thinking, like, okay, he's not talking about like the outcome of ground balls to second base. He's talking about like the mental process of like. My approach is hitting the ball to second base. And I think when we talk about mental game, there's so much to it. Like, is that part of a mental game? Like when people talk about great players and they just have a great mental game when they get in the box and they're really good at it, what are we talking about as coaches? Like when you tell a kid like, hey, your mental game needs some work, like what are you describing?
Me personally or the average?
Me personally.
So when we're looking on the mental game, one of the big things that we talk about is just identifying and understanding what their approach is, like building a plan and understanding what that looks like to stay on plan, and just being able to make it to where, if you go up to in that box mentally thinking you've already lost, you've lost. And so just making it to where you are comfortable and confident in the box. Whether that's, during BP, you didn't put a single ball in play and now it's game time with runners on second and third. Like, you can't be thinking about how you swung and missed at 15. Like, you got to be able to have a little mental toughness, a little going into that, have a plan, have an approach, and, be able to dive fully into that. For me, that's what we look at. We do a lot of identifying what their approach is. What pitches they do swing at, and just kind of talking about that. The amount of kids that have never just been asked, what location are you looking at? They're like, what do you mean location? I'm looking for a strike. And you're like, well, I think it starts with that, because like if they don't have a plan on 0-0, they're not gonna have a plan on 0-2. They're not gonna have a plan on 2-2. They're not gonna have if you don't even have a plan when nothing's happened yet, you're not going to be able to react properly. And so then that's when you get into the downward spiral. And then that's when you get coaches that don't necessarily understand the perspective of the player and why they're reacting the way that they're reacting. And they just, kind of go down the kid's not cut out for it or whatever it is, even though they just never been walked through it or talked about.
Sure. So now what do you think the average coach, right? The average dude that's like, hey, we got to work on your mental game. What do you think you're driving?
Bro, the average coach on a mental game is just like freaking, I think I can. Like to me, like that's what like, it's just like, you just got to, I might be wrong on this, but you just got to stick your nose in it, go knob to the ball, and just flick it out there, and you'll get it. You're like that. That's the mental side, and it's like you got to visualize it. It's like, yeah, like you got to visualize it, but like, it's like jumping into the middle of the ocean and not knowing, one, like where to start going to, or what. Like, if you have some information prior, you might have a chance, but if you have just nothing to go off of, like, it's just panic. It's just... Yeah. It's just getting thrown to the wolves, and it's one of those that I think way too many kids have to deal with on their own, because one, they're not going to go out and looking at it on their own. The idea of a sports psychologist is not necessarily something that is common to anybody like really under the age of like, it's getting more common in the high school age, but like I remember being a freshman at UNC and we had some mental skills guy come in. Dude, we didn't give a shit. I remember from like seniors down, we were just like,
what are we doing?
Bro, we could be practicing on the field right now. I never had someone like walking me through why it's that important. Like, when you fail, how do you react? Speaking of this, I apologize. I saw the best quote I've seen in a long time is that calm water, you can see your reflection. Boiling water, you can't. The path is always like hazier when you're hotter temperatured. And it's like, oh shit. Like, it's the same two things, water, but different environments cause it to where it reacts differently. And it's like, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like you said, I was the same way, like playing. Like, you're young and you don't really have a, you know, you don't know what you want. That's why I still like new trainers at Driveline. They come in like, this athlete really wants to do this. I'm like, the athlete doesn't know what they want. They don't know what's going to make them bad. Like, they don't know. Like, you remember you playing? Like, you don't know anything. The players don't understand. And honestly, I think it's because most of the time when people talk about mental skills and like mental skill training, it's like, you just got to be a dog. You just got to stick your nose in it. Like, you just got to be a grinder. You got to be a dog. Like, you just got to have that dog in you. And like, that's great. Cool. What the hell does that mean, coach? The hell are you talking about?
Can you please tell me how?
Yeah, exactly. And so like, that's kind of leads me to what I really want to get to is everybody, every coach, every player wants to have 9 dudes on the field that have that dog in them, right? That have that mental skill. Yeah. That have that mental skill to show up and be calm, cool, and collected, to be that still water in the biggest moment of the season. Like, how do we get athletes to that level? We talked about approach, right? And like, having a plan is going to help kind of calm things down. Like, you feel a little bit more confident in your ability to succeed when you have a plan and like working through that. But like, what happens when the water starts boiling? What do you do now, right? Just because you got a plan doesn't mean baseball is not going to kick you in the butt. Like, it's definitely going to happen. So like, what do? How do you train that aspect?
Shout out to my man, Robert Riggins. I think it's just absolutely destroying the environment that you are semi-comfortable in. Because like, generally, that's like the one thing. Like, obviously, you go from indoors to outdoors, talking to hitters that go from ballparks that have shadows and that don't. But like, on just like a general feel, like the feeling of you being in the box and the feeling of the pitcher being on the mound, like that's the same kind of like, it's very consistent, the feeling wise, from when you're like 8 years old to if you're a pro player, in my opinion. Like, you gradually grow up and change with it. Where Mr. Robert Riggins has gone through, as he has put out, and I think I've talked about this a couple different times, research on just, you know, what's it like if you're wearing, what are those things? Earplugs. What happens when you can't hear anything? What happens when you're blasting classical music and that's why you can't hear anything? Like, what happens when you make it really warm? What happens when you make it super cold? What happens when you have changing eyeglasses? Like, what happens when you are changing the one most of the time consistent that they've had to where it's like, all right, now we are forcing panic in a situation that they're probably not going to overcome. I've only seen it twice on a ball field where a pitcher is going through and pitching and then all of a sudden the lights just freaking turn off. Like, it's not too often where you have to hit in environments where like you can't see or the music is blaring. Like, I don't know if any of your guys are going down and playing in the Mexican League where they have the music playing as the pitch is being thrown. But like, that's things that are like guys aren't used to. And I believe that the same panic that they have internally when they're doing something like that in training would then be the same style of panic when they are doing something comfortable in a game but are in an uncomfortable situation that they may have not come across. I think how the body reacts to the it might be two different styles of different, but they're caused by the same thing of uncomfortableness. And so for me, that's how we kind of attack it. I have eye patches and stuff like that. And so we just try and change the normal, consistent environment. But outside of that, I don't know of too much. What do you have up your sleeve, dude? What you got for me? What am I going to change about my training program right here, right now?
Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth, honestly. I go back and forth because, like, part of my brain goes, mental training is just eyewash. Like, just do whatever to feel good when you get in the box and, like, focus on hitting the pitch. And it just comes down to, like, attentional focus. Like, if you're focused, like, who cares? Just be bigger, faster, stronger. Like, who cares if your mental game's good? Like, but the other half of me, like, has really, really strongly believes that, like, your mental training can overcome some physical deficiencies. Like, you can perform better because you have a higher skill set. So there has to be some balance there, I think, where I'm not going to spend 70% of my training time on mental skills, right? Like, it's not going to help that much. But I do think that there's some advantage to, like you said, putting guys in stressful environments, like encouraging that psychological response of just like panic and anxiety and all of that. Cause I think you're 100% right. Like that same response is the same thing that's going to happen when it's, you know, bottom of the ninth and they need to come up with a big hit and everybody's watching. Like they're going to have the same kind of feeling of like, oh no. What I think is most important for athletes, kind of like we touched on at the beginning, is why is this important? If you can explain to them why it's important and hey, like you said, like the boiling water is just hazy. Like you're just not going to be able to perform. Baseball happens in such small time windows that if your focus is somewhere else for just a fraction of a second, you're done. Like you got beat. It's already the pitch is by you. You made the wrong swing decision. Like you get jammed. Like what? It's done. You're over. So if your brain is having this anxiety reaction to the situation, the environment, the failure, even the success, right? Like you just make a big play. You're high. Like your focus is now somewhere else. Like you are somewhere else. And so you're not going to be able to perform very well. So I think putting them environments is huge, and then coaching them through, hey, you're panicked now. Okay, your body is now starting to do this. Like we're starting to get back to old habits or we're starting to do whatever. How do you balance that out? And why is it important to balance that out instead of just being a dog and just gutting through it? Yeah. One of the things we did at Lamar, like that I thought was really good, we used Brian Kane as kind of our platform, and his whole thing was like breathing and having a routine and like being where your feet are and like being in the present moment. And that's where you're going to perform your best, because all of the information your brain's trying to compile into a decision in the box is going to happen right in that moment. So if you're not present, it's not going to matter. And so having a routine to get into the box every single time, whether you're hitting off a tee, flips, machine, World Series game, is going to help kind of give you that sense of relaxation in the moment, bringing your focus to some point so you're ready to go. But I think like a lot of things in hitting, especially when it comes to like not physical things, just talking about it and like putting some time into it is more valuable. Now, like I said, not 75% of your time, but it's not going to turn you from a bad player into a good player, but it might turn you from a bad player to,
And then also the other side of that spectrum, it might make the, you know, good player really freaking great. Like that might be the one piece that they have been missing. But my question for you would be is, you mentioned that you wouldn't want to do it for 75% of your training. Do you feel that there can be consistent overlap in the training that you are doing to where you can, one, be training the physical side, but then also then training the mental side? Example, I like doing a lot of competition stuff, and I like going through and making it to where I don't necessarily tell them why they're failing necessarily right away. I want them to, you know, struggle, ponder, come up with, you know, one fix, see that that fix was wrong, go to the second fix, find out that was wrong, and then go to the third one while they're still just going through the training side of things. So, like, do you feel that that then could then also be training the mental side, or are you looking at just specifically, hey, you know, go into a dark room, close your eyes, lay down, visualize? Like, is that what you're referring to, or what do you kind of mean by that distribution of practice time?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think I would, like, if I was running a program, I would spend some time, whether it's, you know, 30 minutes, once a week before practice or something like that, to where, like, if we're going to practice base running, we're going to put time aside to do base running. I'm not just going to try and practice base running while, you know, during BP and stuff. Like, we're not just going to try and do it all together. We're going to take some time to actually talk back, especially at the beginning when they're learning things, and take some time to actually focus on it. So, on the mental side, like, I would really try and put some time aside, especially early on working with them. But like you said, I don't think you can train baseball and not have to work on your mental game. And if you're succeeding way too much and you need to make the environment more difficult, which it probably applies to most people. And that's where I think of coaching less of, like, teaching a skill, and same thing for teaching, but less of teaching baseball and more of just like, hey, this is how you act when you're terrible at something. Like, this is how you act and should react, like, when you start failing, or when you start getting frustrated, or when you're doing really well. Like, this is kind of how you need to manage your moods and emotions and focuses. So it's kind of like a psychologist in that way, where I think a lot of coaches would see that kid in your example fail the first time, and he'd give him a cue, or he'd tell him why he's failing. And then he'd fail a second time, and he'd try and give him a different cue, and he'd, you know, try and do a different drill. And then he'd fail a third time, and he'd try a different thing. Like, keep trying to fix the swing issue instead of taking a step back and talking about, hey, like, let's think about how we're reacting. Can we kind of reset ourselves and then be focused for these next couple?
And then the other thing with that is, if I'm an athlete and I'm getting, you know, and I'm failing and I'm getting frustrated, and my coach is the one that's telling me what adjustments I need to make, and those adjustments aren't the ones that are being successful, one, it's very possible I might start looking at my coach and I'm like, you're a dummy. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm doing what you're asking me to do, and it's not helping. Or two, they're not going to then, when they are on their own, be able to understand, one, when do I need to start making an adjustment? The amount of times that I will see a kid warming up, bang 10 ground balls to the shortstop where the ball's, like, at a negative, you know, 55, like, launch. And I, like, stop and I ask them, I'm like, are you trying to ground out every time? And they're like, what? And I'm like, are you, like, you're doing this on purpose, right? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, so why haven't you changed anything? And they go, well, what do you mean? And it's like, you haven't even thought of, like,
Yeah. What am I trying to do? Yeah. Right. What am I trying to do? What's the outcome I'm getting? And is that outcome, like, an outcome I want? those thoughts didn't even pop up. Yeah. And that's my favorite comment, watching dudes hit off the machine. And it's just like, whiff, foul ball, whiff. And I'm like, where are you trying to hit it? Where are you trying to hit it? And they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm just trying to hit it. I'm like, well, like, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because A, that's not a plan. That's just you saying you're going to do something. And B, is it working? Is that working for you right now?
The amount of times that a kid will go through and swing and miss like 15 times and it won't even dawn on them, like, maybe I should try, I don't know, something different.
Anything different. Literally anything.
You want to try left-handed? Like, let's go for it. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, like, like bringing it kind of full circle is like Longworth's tweet about like trying to hit a ground ball, like having an approach to hit a ground ball. Like not a bad approach, like Freddie Freeman, like not a bad approach for a dude who loses posture really easily and like early hip extends. Like that's not a bad approach. But are you in the present moment enough to allow your body to just go like, oh, I'm going to try and hit a ground ball, but now I'm going to catch it out front and just keep going. And like that's fine because the outcome is what you wanted, even though your approach or your mental state was to hit a ground ball. But that's only...
But that's real versus feel. Like that's like the base level real versus feel.
Right, right.
Like
exactly.
You feel like you're hitting a ground ball to the second baseman, but you really are hitting an absolute nuke.
Right. But yeah, I don't think you can... Yeah, and I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can allow your body to do that if you have that, like, mental anxiety of, like, I need to be successful. Because now the thought is, I don't want to hit a ground ball at the second baseman because I'm out. So how do I not do that? And then you don't commit to that feel, and everything goes to shit. And, like, yeah.
The amount of people that will go half in, half out, like they want to, yes, instead of being fully in on the, like my favorite example is in the, this is me in the example, and this is how I figured out I should probably quit doing this, is I would go up, right, and I'm sinking. Everyone knew that don't throw this dude fastballs, not that anything else, but just he will swing and miss at every curveball humanly possible. And so I was going through where I'm like, all right, so I think that they know about this about me, so I'm going to go up. I'm on hunting curveballs. So I go up, first pitch, fastball right down the middle. I'm like, okay, all right. Then the next one, I'm like, you know, last time they went with a fastball, they're probably going to go fastball this time. So this time I go up thinking fastball, curveball. I'm like, okay, all right. The next time I come up and you're like, you know, they went curveball last time, I think they might go curveball. Get up, fastball. And it's like, all right. If I would have stuck to my original approach of just sticking to hunting fastballs, I'm 2 for 3 right there. But because I'm so half in, half out, not wanting to just dive in on a plan, stick and commit, I end up going 0 for 3 with that. And like the amount of times that happened in my actual career, frustrating. Before I just sat back and I was like, you realize like you're just been half in, half out like this entire time. It was so frustrating.
And that's probably the answer I would give to the question of like, how do you train mental train or how do you work on mental training? Like when you're trying to coach a swing is like when you see that kid start spiraling and start doing that where it's like, oh, this didn't work. So like, I'm going to try and like, feel like I'm pulling my hands. Oh, that didn't work. I'm going to try and feel like I'm like turning really hard. Like that didn't work. And like, you have to stop that. And you don't have to stop that. And then like, go, hey, no, do this. Even if it works, even if you know it's terrible. Yeah. Just stay stopped. What the hell are you talking? What are you doing? What is your brain doing right now? Like, I want you to seriously take a second, listen to your brain talk to itself, and figure out that are those the thoughts you want to accumulate when you're walking into the box?
Dude, you're talking to Connor when he freaking quit, dude. I remember I was playing in Canada. I was hitting maybe .150, like just I weighed more than my batting average, bro. Like I was struggling. And I remember, dude, I was the first one at the cages to hit BP every single day. I stayed through the entire, like, a lot of the time guys would get their reps, go to, you know, infield, go back. I literally was there from early BP to late BP, and I was talking to every single hitter. I was talking to every single coach. What's your cue? What are you working on? What are your focuses? What are you – And, like, dude, like, every day, like it was just a new, different little thing. It's like, all right, well, what happened yesterday didn't work. So, you know, all right, we're going to go over and talk to, you know, Jim and see what he does. Like, it was bad, dude. And, like, it just, like, no one sat me down and, like, said, like, hey, that's probably not the greatest idea in the world. Like, no one said, hey, maybe don't come to early batting practice and kind of, like, I don't know, allow yourself to be a normal human. Versus like being fixated on the fact that you suck. Like,
and that's the ironic part of all of this is like, I think the hardest workers often suffer from that the most because there's always something to improve, but like, that's not the focus. Like, just let, like, did you do good? Did you hit ball good? Then good. Like, shut up. Like, I don't care if you went four. I don't care if you went 4 for 12 over the weekend, and you should have gone 5 for 12 because you missed that fastball that you just got under. Don't go in the cage and take 400 swings trying to work on whatever. Like, you went 4 for 12. Good job. Like, keep going. Like, just continue that.
I full-heartedly think we should start like the Stanford Project, but for hitters. I don't know how we do it. Like, maybe we make it to where they have to sleep in the cages, and like we give the power to like curveballs and like like 2-1 changeups. Like, instead of prison guards, they're just a shirt that says 2-1 changeups, and they just walk around and just beat the shit out of hitters and stuff. I don't know. Like, maybe we just like mentally break them down and then build them back up from the top. Like, who knows? I'm willing to try anything though.
It just takes some time. And like you said, somebody to say like, hey, stop. Think about that for a second. It's funny you told that story of like going back and forth. Like, I would imagine like, even if they threw you a curveball, were you going to hit it that well? Probably not. It's one of my favorite stories. And it just, I think it perfectly encapsulates the mind of a hitter. He was at, you know, spring training extended or whatever. And he's watching live at bats and this hitter's, you know, the pitcher on the mound's got like, you know, 180 stuff plus slider. It's just disgusting. And he's just throwing it all the time. Like, he's just every pitch, every batter, he's throwing it.
Why not?
And so and he's talking to the hitter and he's like, so like, this hitter's supposed to be, you know, big leaguer this year, like, you know, whatever. He's facing this minor league guy. He's like, so like, what are you looking for here? He's like, well, he's throwing the slider a lot, so I think I'm just gonna like sit on a slider. And Bodie goes, what happens when he throws it? And the guy just stared at him like, that's actually a really good point. Bodie's like, yeah, don't sit on the slider. That thing's gross. Like, pray to God you get a fastball before he strikes you out. And like, you better hit that one. And that's what hitters do to themselves. They're just like, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to make it really calm. Just relax. Have a plan. Stick to your plan. In the moment, go execute. If it works, great. If not, adjust. That's it.
It's the relying on, are you relying on your training? And if you're a person that doesn't train, good luck relying on it. Like, you know, and that's where it comes to, maybe we should start changing, or maybe not we, but like just in baseball in general, we should start, you know, adding some more mental side stuff. Like you said, it doesn't have to be 75%. But if, you know, hitters are going to go to their training when facing adversity, when baseball you fail 70% of the time, there's going to be a lot of adversity. Let's start making a part of our practice plans to make it to where they have a plan. I mean, we do have tornado drills. We have fire drills, like, and shit like that. So, like, it's one of those where you hope you don't have, like, it doesn't happen. But like, when a fire goes up, well, we need to know how we can all get out of here. When you, like, we don't want you 0-2, but when you get 0-2, like, you know, let's not act like we're perfect. You know, my big thing is, don't be an ostrich. Don't just stick your head in the sand and hope that, you know, everything will go by. Actually face it on and go from there. And so, you know, coaches, let's all try and do a little bit better then. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's all start making it to where kids can rely on their training.
Yeah. And I'll end with kind of that thought of, I think coaches, we don't do a good enough job explaining how tough hitting is. Like, I think kids understand it, but what gets guys spiraling more than anything is missing one pitch. And like, that's what starts it. And so if we can get to the point as coaches where, like you said, we put them in tough environments all the time, you're going to be able to start to see when they start spiraling and kind of catch it and go, hey, this is a teaching moment where I can kind of tell you, hey, you're spiraling. Let's think about the stupid thoughts your brain's having. Let's redirect it a little bit. Let's work. And so that way, next time when it happens in a game, when he's hitting 330 and his batting average now just drops off the table, he doesn't go panic mode. He goes, hey, I remember me and coach talked about this at practice. I'm good.
I love it too. Lightly add on top of that, We had one of my favorite drills that we've done in the past has been the three plate. And so we've been with the organization I was with, we were getting prepared for the Marucci World Series. Going to be going down, and it was like, all right, well, we're going to be seeing a lot of arms over 85. So let's get prepared for that. How do you do that? So 3 weeks prior, we started having it to where we were doing the three plate, you know, ball, far back plate, shooting at the knees as you work closer. And then the second time, they would start at the front, work their way back. Originally, I would always look to start and be like, hey, so when you first started at the very far back plate, were you getting like timing like that was a fastball? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay. Well, then you got closer. What happened? And like, it got faster. I'm like, fastballs aren't supposed to get faster than what they are, right? Like, that's supposed to be the top. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, okay. What happened when you got closer? And like, it got faster. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And I was like, but what happens when you started at the front plate? And I was like, was that a fastball or off speed? And they're like, fastball. And I said, all right, what happens when you got all the way to the back plate? And they're like, well, that was a changeup. All right. I was like, did the pitches ever change? And like, no. And we were still having a lot of guys that were struggling on the idea on the very front plate to, because I mean, each week we were slowly increasing the speed and stuff like that. And they were just really struggling with the idea. They were still trying to have the idea of like stride, see the ball. Okay, I see the ball. All right. I still see the ball. Okay, now that ball, it's still, I still see it. All right, now I'm able to swing versus like, I see it, I go. And so we changed the mental side of it to where the entire, and this also ties into the idea of panicking after you swing and miss one time. I just told them you have to swing and miss six times. And I said, you have to swing. You can't start your swing until it shoots, but you have to finish your swing by the time it passes you. Like you can't be swinging underneath it and that's why you're missing. You have to be swinging before it and that's why you're missing. And I've got the video on my phone. First dude that did that, his first swings on the front one, all swing and misses, all like day late, dollar short, Louisiana Bayou. Once we do that six swing drill, dude, I swear, first three, like would have been over the left fielder's head. Bro, just eating my guy. And I was like, I just looked at him. I was like, what happened? And he's like, well, I just didn't think it was as fast anymore. All right, you allowed yourself to swing and miss. You allowed yourself to make an adjustment, and now you're just playing baseball again, dude. Like it's crazy.
Didn't change the swing at all. Same dude in the box. Didn't give him any cues.
Same just machine. Said, hey. Same dials.
Yep. There's something there.
Maybe it's the mental side of it.
Maybe.
Nothing changed physically, but everything changed mentally.
Weird. Big if true.
Well, JP, you got anything to plug for the people?
Plug for the people. Follow me on Twitter. Go buy Smash Balls. They're amazing. What
they
else?
They are sold out by the time you guys are hearing this. I will have this podcast out today. But that's what happened last time. I do not work there, so do not take my actual words. I'm just, as a person that has bought them and is still waiting for them, they sell out very quickly, so you better buy them quick.
We got more coming right away, so we should be okay, but buy them quick. They go fast.
They do go fast.
Heck yeah.
Well, beautiful. For anybody, we do have an Instagram and Twitter change on the handle. We are still RBI, still the same brand, but now just underneath the Fast umbrella. So I am now Fast_RBI. So for anybody that is looking to check out the content, it's going to be out there. We're going to be looking to push heavy amount of content now that I don't have to learn how to like run QuickBooks and all that other stupid shit. I can actually be a coach, not a business owner. That's really cool. We're excited for that one. We're going to be looking to push out, a tweet, blogs, something at least every day. Hopefully all of it at least once a day and just kind of go from there, you guys. So thank you guys for joining. I appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of your day and thank you for joining.
Thank you.